Welcome to the River Church Podcast.
We're all about bringing the life, hope, and love of Jesus to everyone around us.
For more information, check out our website at river-church.uk.
Excellent. Following Q's introduction last week, we're going to kickstart our series on forgotten pathways, where we're going to be exploring fundamental practices and rhythms of life lived out by Jesus and his disciples. And today, we're looking at the pathway to Sabbath. Excellent. This is a God-planned rest. This one's crackling as well. Intended to be incorporated in the rhythm of our lives. It's a rest that invites us to stop, rest, delight, and worship. What's the one thing these have got in common? They're all offering rest. Comfy bed, comfy sofa, nice slippers. My deep booming voice. Marketing companies all around the world, they absolutely know that we are longing for rest, that people want rest. Nothing like an interruption when you're trying to. That's great. We're good. We'll get there. Okay, so you've got holiday companies offering a sun-soaked poolside rest. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Mattress companies promising the best night's sleep. Even astronauts sleep on their beds, apparently, some of these companies. Coffee shops inviting lunchtime breaks. Luxury spas offering rest for our bodies and our minds. But the reality is, you can't just buy rest. To really rest, you have to stop. Now, of course, you can buy things that help you with resting. But the reality is, you've just got to stop. I mean, no one books a holiday, pays for it, and then just waves goodbye as it takes off and then goes back to work. You don't buy a lovely, comfortable sofa and never sit on it. Or it's like putting on a great, comfortable pair of slippers and then going to do some gardening in it.
It's all right. Well, you know, don't sit down for too long and be resting because, you know, I've got to do my garden next week.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Brilliant. Thanks, James. I'll be there. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you. Lovely. It's getting hot in here. The problem is, we get caught up in the busyness of life, all its demands and expectations. Stopping and resting well has just become a massive challenge. What now?
Hang on a minute. You've got to make sure that you book that time off for our anniversary. All right?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Kate.
You've got to ring your mum and dad later. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Brilliant.
And also, Corinne needs to take him to college this week because she's got exams. Right?
So. Great. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Lovely. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Right. I'm just going to try and get on with this now. Okay. Thank you for... This is getting quite heavy now. Oh, and now the clicker's not working. Come on. Okay. Anyone recognise that city? New York. What's it famous for? The city that never sleeps. Absolutely. But now, thanks to 24-hour internet shopping, we all live in an age, let alone a city, that never sleeps. Our societies, industries, they just never stop. They never cease. They never rest. We have constant access to news feeds, social media updates, remote working, virtual meetings. It means that even the privacy and the sanctuary of our own homes is invaded by the busyness of life.
Done?
Oh, Abed.
Leadership course. us, you have an assignment. It's due 1st of June.
Thanks for the reminder. Brilliant. Thank you. Anyone else? Anything else? I mean, can I? May I? Okay, let's. Brilliant. The thing is, there is an expectation to just keep going, to work that bit longer, that bit harder, do that one more job. The issue is we wear too many hats sometimes. They stack up. They take their toll. And quite frankly, they look ridiculous when you stack them together. I'm so glad it's just audible recording now. But yeah, thanks for getting your cameras out. Yeah, cheers. Great. Thanks. Okay. Thing is, relentless work leads to tiredness. And when we're tired, we start to function less. Our productivity goes down. When we're tired, our guards go down. We become less tolerant, perhaps less able to love. And when we're tired, we're more vulnerable to temptation, to sin. And I know for sure, when I get tired, I can get really irritable, defensive. Tiredness just brings out the worst version of me, doesn't it, Kate? Yeah. Sorry. But thankfully, the Bible says that God has a solution for this, and that is the Sabbath. Sabbath is a rest that cuts across all social norms, all expectations. It's an intentional rest that tells us to take off the hats. Thankfully. It's my hair look again. And refocuses us towards God. But before we get too far ourselves, I just want to just attest. Hands up if you've heard of Sabbath in the first place. Okay, good. The majority of us, brilliant. Okay, keep your hands up. Those who put their hands up, hands back up. If you know what it means and could confidently tell the person next to you all about Sabbath. Okay, there's definitely a few less hands there. Okay, hands up if you practice Sabbath. There is half hands. Okay, so I guess the answer to this question next one, I'm pretty sure. Hands up if you practice Sabbath regularly and consistently. Excellent. But, okay. I mean, it sounds very Old Testament, doesn't it? Something that God perhaps asked his people in the past to do. Something that might sound a bit legalistic even. Not relevant for Christians today. But what if I told you this is something that God himself did? What if I was to tell you it was one of the Ten Commandments? What if I told you that it was ingrained into the very rhythm of Jesus' life? That every single week, Jesus obeyed the Sabbath. And I think as a group, we've agreed that we are on a journey where we want to be with Jesus, we want to do as he did, and we want to be like him. And so this has got to be worth a look at if this is something that Jesus did, right? So what does the Bible tell us about Sabbath? Well, in Genesis 2, we read that right at the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he instigated this intentional rest. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So we see here that God himself established a day to rest from work, a time to stop. He factored it into the very rhythm of life. He created days that had clear beginnings and clear endings, a time to work, a time to rest. But if we move to the book of Exodus, we see that this was not for God alone. We see that he commanded it for his people. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you should do no work, neither you nor your son or daughter, your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner living in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them. but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So here we get a clear insight that it's not an optional extra. It's not just an add-on, take it or leave it. Rather, it's a command to form part of our routine of life for all of God's people, regardless of the role. I mean, even the animals are included in it. Now, I don't know about you, but we've got cats. And believe you me, cats have no problem at all with resting. They are happy to sleep everywhere. You heard that rhyme? Cats sleep anywhere, any table, any chair. Cats sleep anywhere. They really do. We should learn from cats. I mean, not. But what we see, Sabbath is not a command intended to restrict or constrain us. It's meant to be a gift, one that brings blessing. I mean, it says God blessed the Sabbath. And in the book of Isaiah, we see that the command to Sabbath carries a promise of joy. It says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honourable, and if you honour it by not going your own way, not doing as you please, or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. Now, I appreciate that most of that is quite Old Testament stuff I've been reading. So, but what does Jesus say about the Sabbath? Was it just a thing that's confined to the past, confined to history, to the Old Testament? As I mentioned earlier, Jesus himself routinely and consistently observed the Sabbath. It was part of his rhythm of life. Every Friday, he would spend time with his friends. They'd enjoy a walk. They'd eat together. And there's this one occasion, whilst out for a walk with his disciples on one Sabbath day, when Jesus was criticized for allowing his disciples to pick small pieces of corn. They were walking through a field, just picking ears of corn and just munching as they went, not thinking twice about it. But Jesus' response was really, really interesting. He said the Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. Jesus was making it clear that the Sabbath was not about a bunch of overbearing legalistic regulations that the religious leaders, those that were criticizing him about the Sabbath day, how they had made it. Rather, it was meant to be a blessing for the good of everyone. And if you recall, when we looked at rest in our series on Hebrews, we found that Jesus said this incredible invitation, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, Jesus knows that life is tough. He knows life is tiring. But he gives this incredible invite to rest in him. And as we flick through to Matthew 12, we find that Jesus says this. He says, the Son of Man, in other words, he himself, is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is saying that ultimately, it is in him and only in him that we can find deep, satisfying rest. Let's just pause for a quick moment. And, you know, we're on a journey together, exploring these forgotten pathways and working together. So let's just have a few moments, just considering what you think about what the Bible says about Sabbath, what Jesus said about Sabbath, and what does resting look like for you at this moment? Does it look a bit like that, or does it look very different from that? So just have a few minutes, just in twos or threes, just chat around those questions, then we'll come back and we'll dive a little bit more into what that might look like. That is great. Maybe we should spend the rest of the time talking because that seems very good. I think when we were just talking just now, particularly around Jesus, you know, it was part of the routine of society. Sabbathing, it was something everyone around did, and our society looks very different now, doesn't it? We've got very different routines, as we've already looked at, 24-hour shopping, you know, demands all the time. So it does look very different from what perhaps it was back in there. But does that mean then we just, no, don't bother? Or just think, well, we live in a different age, we do something different. Well, let's explore that a little bit as we push on. And definitely we're exploring pathways, not conquering everything and understanding everything all at once. So this is a journey we're on. So which is great to start talking, start thinking around it. So, John Mark Comer helps us to frame Sabbath in these four simple rhythms or processes to stop, rest, delight, and worship. And so just going to explore a little bit of that, see, unpick them four subjects and to see what we can make of those. So first, to stop. Sabbath, or Shabbat, it's Hebrew root word, literally means to stop, cease, rest, be done. It's where we get that word sabbatical from. So we take a break from something, a rest from something. And just as we read in Genesis, we see that God finished his work and he stopped and rested. And so for us, this is going to involve an intentional, very deliberate stopping from all work. Not just our paid work, but chores, errands. Now, John Mark Comer would go as far to say even to resist thinking about work. Now, I don't know about you, I find it really hard to switch off, whether I'm thinking about a quote that needs to be sent, materials that need to be ordered, shopping that needs to be done. I mean, whilst being set here, how many people have been thinking about jobs that they need to do next week? I mean, it's impossible, isn't it? How do we shut that down and stop thinking about things? Shopping list. You know, it's not always you version I've got out. I'm tapping away on my phone. But the ask is not all the time. Rather, this is about setting aside a day to say no to work. Because the reality is work never ceases. It's ongoing. Sabbath, therefore, is essential that we intentionally stop in readiness for the week ahead. So it's not just simply about stopping, but resting. Allowing our bodies, our minds, and our spirits to recover from the busyness of life, the busyness of work. And the invitation of rest is so appealing to us because we are physically designed to rest. The very cells, organs, and molecules that form us are rejuvenated through regular sleep. The physical rest is essential to our mental, physical, and emotional well-being. We've all got a wired-in sensor that triggers when we've had enough, when our bodies have had enough, we get exhausted, our attention, our capacity starts to wane off, our muscles begin to ache, we start to yawn, and soon that internal call to rest, to sleep, it just becomes irresistible. And like Snoopy, we have to catch those Z's. Whilst looking at stuff for this teaching, I found dozens and dozens of training plans for a marathon. Now, of course, it's not for me. Clearly, I am not a marathon runner. But I know some amongst us have and do run marathons. I mean, hats off, literally, hats off to them. It's amazing. But this plan is by a woman called Kara Goucher. She is one of America's most accomplished long-distance runners. She's won medals at all the world championships. She's been to multiple Olympics. And she's pretty much run every major world marathon. She really is an expert in her field. And she also has a long-term significant neurological condition. But she still manages to do this. She's an incredible woman, a real expert in her field. And every single plan I looked at, including this one of Cara's, incorporated at least one day's rest into the plan. Even elite athletes, rest is essential to the routine of their training. Just got to be part of that function. And have you spotted something? I don't know if you can see it. What day off is it? Sunday. Pretty much every plan I looked at, Sunday was the day off, interesting enough. See, physical rest is a fundamental design aspect of the human body. And pausing from our works, whatever they may be, allows us to rest as God intended and realigns our rhythms with his.
God established a pattern of 6 working days followed by a day rest. And that's something that every single society across the whole of history aligned their society with. A 7-day week, 6 days for industry and 1 day for rest. But what makes Sabbath rest different from an elite athlete's rest or a colleague's day off? I mean, everyone rests, so what makes Sabbath so special? Well, it said in Genesis 2 that God blessed the Sabbath day, the 7th day, and made it holy. And notice says the word blessed. The Hebrew word for blessed means happy. And God intended this to be a happy day, not a solemn, miserable, self-denial day. Having completed the work, God delighted in what he created. And as we saw in Isaiah, it says, if you call the Sabbath a delight, you will find your joy in the Lord. There's joy to be found in this rest. To quote John Mark Comer, he says, to delight requires slowing down, putting boundaries around the day, saying no to some things, and to say yes to joy. And I think looking at Sabbath through this lens, it's not about self-denial, just doing nothing. Rather, it's about enjoying the grace of God in our lives. Maybe this is going for a walk and literally enjoying being in creation, spending time with friends and family. Whatever we might do instead of our work and chores and the business of life is about doing things that lead us to delight in God. And building on that, fundamental to Sabbath rest that differs from simply stopping and resting is worship. It's about dedicating time to reflect back to God, his goodness, his mercy, his kindness. Worship in the Sabbath is about focusing ourselves on the holy God. It said, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. I absolutely love it when we gather together to worship. I mean, what a time we had earlier. As we were pressing into the presence of God, as he was moving amongst us, as he was speaking to us, what a privileged time that is. To engage with God in his heart and just give back in our worship to him. And that is the very heart of the Sabbath day, intentionally focusing our attention on God. Again, to quote John Montgomery, other teachers and preachers are available. But everyone worships something. And if it's not the Creator, it will be a created thing. Let me say that again. Everyone worships something. And if it's not the Creator, it is a created thing. So the question for us is, what or who do we worship? What do we give most of our time to and our attention and efforts? If all our time is consumed by work, chores and other stuff, where is our worship to God? Sabbath is all about resting, resetting, reorientating our worship to the holy God and letting go of the idols in our lives that command our attention over him. Sabbath rest, delight and worship sets us up for a week ahead with Christ at the centre of our work, our families, our relationships, and allows us to live lives fully complete in him. So just to summarise, today we've looked at the forgotten pathway to Sabbath. We've seen that it's a rhythm of life set right at the beginning of creation by God himself. We've seen it's a command, but with a promise. And we've seen that Sabbath was just a routine part of Jesus' life, and that he himself promises us rest if we come to him. And that Sabbath involves stopping, resting, delighting, and worshipping. In our discussion earlier, we considered that actually some people don't work. So what's it look like for their days? Actually, what's stopping in the context of that? My work is very inconsistent, so I'm not working all the time. Then I could be really busy. What does stopping look like in that situation? Some of us are in college doing exams at the moment, and school, you know, what, you can't just stop an exam. You've got to keep going. You've got to study for it. So, you know, how do we work this all through that? So this is going to be something that we just need to weave in the natural rhythm of our lives. It's going to look different for each of us. And it's something over time that we can look how that can be worked into our lives. But possibly, Sabbath could simply include turning off our phones, emails, social media for 24 hours, getting a break from some of that bombardment. We could change our shopping days, planning activities that are very different to work and allow us to rest and delight. Going for walks, reading a book, spending time with family and friends, Sabbathing together, having meals together, breaking bread together, and worshipping together. So just to close, why don't we just spend another few more minutes talking together about how and what Sabbath might look like for us. Again, I think on a journey together, it's just easier to talk through stuff. And you know, take it from just a talk from the front to actually how is it going to look like for me in my life and us as a community together. And just to help with that, these three questions you could consider. What might you need to stop doing? What can you start to help you rest? And what can you do to delight and worship God? So let's just have a few minutes together, just chatting again like we did before, considering those questions and anything else about Sabbath you might want to talk about, and then Q will wrap us up in a moment.